I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. Welcome to Simulate Breachcast, a Cybercrime Magazine podcast series brought to you by Simulate, the developers of a breach and attack simulation platform that enables companies to challenge, assess, and optimize their cybersecurity posture against threat evolutions simply and continuously. To learn more about Simulate, visit simulate.com. Joining me today is Avahai Ben-Yosef, co-founder and CTO of Simulate. Welcome back, Avahai. It's so great to have you back with us today.
Thank you. Great to be back. Thank you for having me.
Of course. And Avahai, ransomware, which is at the forefront of cyber attacks, you know, more people are now understanding what they are and how they work, but there are various stages, correct? I'm hoping, if correct, like you can take us through these, sort of provide an education on the life cycle to build upon that foundational knowledge we have.
Sure. Yeah, perfect. That's a great question. And ransomware, just like any other, you know, cyber attack, they all have different life cycles and you know, the building process where the outcome might be different, you know, from other cyber attacks. But yeah, ransomware would be definitely one of the most common ones. So definitely one of the most interesting ones as well. And the different stages, I think even in our, you know, the first chapters, then an episode we actually recorded, we've talked a lot about the MITRE ATT&CK framework and how it also, you know, aligns the different stages of, you know, attacks. And on top of that, you know, the stages of a ransom will be similar there. It, you know, it starts from the reconnaissance stage, just like any other attack, just general reconnaissance, finding out whatever information, you know, they can get in order to actually exploit their attack, building the tools, building the different tools they're going to use. And then, you know, initial foothold is, you know, finding the ways to get in. It can be using spear phishing, exploit kits, exploiting, you know, browser vulnerabilities, exploiting whatever there is out there that can be, you know, on externally from the internet. It also might go into a very, I'll say, uncommon use case of more physical access, but on the digital world, it really comes into those classic initial foothold stages that I've talked about. And then, you know, it goes through once that initial foothold has got it actually in, and the attackers are actually in, then there will be, you know, the more common classic privilege escalation stages. There will also probably be lots of different defense evasion techniques they'll have to leverage to make sure they know they go undetected in a stealthier manner. And, you know, at the end, the main idea is, you know, as a ransomware, is to find something that they can hold as ransom. And I will say the most classic ransomwares were from, you know, they kind of went on the encryption side, encrypting all the data of the clients, maybe not all the data, but the sensitive data, important data, you know, the private, important, sensitive data they can encrypt and kind of hold that hostage. I'll say that even nowadays, the kind of the data exfiltration was maybe even a newer method for holding, you know, the organizations that got hit hostage, because what they are actually holding hostage, they exfiltrate the data out, and then they're actually, you know, holding hostage whether, you know, they're going to publish any of that data or not. So, you know, the data exfiltration stage or the encryption stage, both of them are viable, I'll say, stages from a ransomware perspective. They will have the same goal of holding that hostage, you know, the company hostage. It might be their files that are hostage. It might be their reputation, which takes hostage if they go on the data exfiltration course, and that's maybe the one thing. And you know, from generic digital innovation perspective, you know, enterprises are here and they're all working better and collaborating and automating. That's also, you know, a lot of these opened up, you know, the attack surface. And now there are so many, the attack surface is so big, and there are so many ways to exploit those different stages of the kill chain.
Right. And Avahai, what are some of the real world examples of ransomware attacks? And additionally, do you think continuous security validation could have helped prevent them?
Sure. But yeah, definitely. So I'll give some, you know, I'll explain about that. And there is always, I'll say, the growth of the ransomware business is all, you know, is definitely growing all the time. As I mentioned earlier, it's not only about encrypting, it's also about, you know, leakage of sensitive data. There are so many examples. Just lately, we've seen, you know, the Acer that got hit from a Revil attack. It was maybe, I think, tagged as the highest ransomware paid to date, like $50 million, something like that. And yeah, there are so many that can be done throughout the security, you know, using continuous security validation to really prevent those stuff. So like over, you know, 80% of these attacks could have been prevented with the current existing security control of the, you know, the average cyber-oriented organization, you know, and that's where if you know, if you've chosen that path for a security validation, continuous security validation, that's the way to comprehensively validate that you're safe. And if you're not, to take actionable measures to make sure that you are. You can simulate the techniques that, you know, a lot of those ransomware, most of the time, and you know what, even as you know, to the first even question, there are stages of the attack. Even if the ransomware has used maybe like a very unique zero-day technique to exploit one of those stages, I can assure you that a lot of the different stages of the attack are well-known, well-patched, you know, you can cope with, the common organization can cope with. All it needs to do is to validate and know about them. That's where, you know, these kind of concepts come into place.
Excellent. And so now let's discuss how continuous security validation can prevent ransomware. I know this is something you're an expert in. Can you start by sharing with us how this approach is differentiated from the competition and what any essential requirements are?
So just like we said, you know, a ransomware attack is at the end, it's a sequence, you know, it's a chain of malicious activities, you know, it's different stages. There is, you know, of the cyber kill chain at the end of the day. And, you know, in a perfect world, these activities should just be prevented, or, you know, they should be detected by everybody. Everybody should detect those malicious. But some activities, not every activity that a ransomware will take might tagged as malicious, not because everybody's doing a bad job, because there, you know, there is always that, you know, business continuity into like false positives. You don't want to alert everybody about anything that happens, but this is not a perfect world. Okay, the ransomware do also, there are things that you can be, you know, that can be tagged as malicious. Those activities can be tagged as malicious. And they just, you know, should not go undetected. And sometimes those security controls that, you know, organization utilize, just not optimally configured. They're not optimally used by the users at the end. And security validation actually help them prevent ransomware by making sure that those security controls are fine-tuned, by making sure that every, you know, different stages of the attack, of the malicious activity, can actually be recreated safely. And through that validation, they can really see how does that look like on their environment. They want to know if their security controls can actually do that. And if so, how does that look like? Imagine that you're a SOC analyst, and the first time that you see how your security control blocks an attack would be in a real live attack. That's not the way to go. You don't want that to be your first time that you've seen something like that on your environment. You want to make sure that you know how it looks like, why it looks like, and of course, if it actually exists, if your detections are and your walls are actually up and running, to make sure you'll actually get that. And that's where that security validation is here to guide you, to fix those gaps, to remediate, to detect, to prevent before something like that really happens. And really, as I mentioned, like the idea is to really recreate, you know, and provide comprehensive assessments and simulation throughout that entire chain, from that initial foothold stage, emails and drive-by compromise, and whenever they land and they try to, as I mentioned, like escalate privileges and bypass defenses. And there are also more like lateral movement. And I don't want to talk about every, you know, each one of those stages and elaborate about that. But there are so many of those different stages that solutions like this can help you show each one of those stages, the various techniques and ways an attacker can utilize and make sure that you can remediate, mitigate, prevent, detect, or even just see them, how they look like on your end for the first time in a, you know, kind of like a, not in a real, you know, real life attack situation.
And since Simulate is number one in continuous security validation, Abhay, do you have any customer use cases you'd be willing to share with listeners who may be interested?
Sure, definitely. I'll be happy to share. And the security validation and Simulate as, you know, as a product in that space is definitely something with different use cases. But one of them that I'm going to focus, and it might be maybe one of the main use cases, which is to actually validate, you know, the effectiveness of the security controls. You know, how do they, and our, you know, clients are actually performing these tests on our benchmarks on daily, tops weekly basis. I'll say maybe second most popular use case will be to validate the security against the latest threats out there, kind of the latest and greatest. And I can share that our clients are doing those as they go out, whenever that something pops up in the wild, they do it on the fly. And they test for a specific in the wild attacks. The third is kind of to simulate malicious activity and really just for threat hunting and incident response and kind of see how, you know, want to simulate something very, very specific and validate that their threat hunting capabilities and the threat hunting skill set and their and the way they hunt for threats are aligned with, you know, how attackers are actually acting. And that way they can also validate how they do respond to a threat, not just find it and hunt it. And like we have several case studies on our website. One of them is Nemours Children Health System, which, you know, just to really give like a thumbs up to this, you know, it's a healthcare. And for them to do purple teaming, I think it's very innovative and they're getting lots out of it. They're optimizing their security control. They even gave us an example where they've changed just one policy on their end, which prevented a big number of exploits from being able to actually exploit their servers and endpoints. They have prioritized patching based on the different compensating controls. They've also tested for that, you know, COVID-19 remote workforce classic use case. They were able to, they wanted to see if, you know, if they log on to a VPN connected machine, like just like any other remote workspace, and took the premise of that's an infected host. Now what? Now what can an infected host, you know, sitting at home because of the COVID-19 pandemic, connected to our, you know, network, what are the malicious activities it can do? Can you reach my most critical asset? Can you reach any crown jewels in my actual network? Because, you know, that remote workforce kind of brought into the, I will say, kind of zero trust idea where if somebody's now at home with his regular machine connected using a VPN, we have to go zero trust and say that's one is 100% infected. And that's how they actually validated, you know, what will happen if one of those remote work employees will get infected, how much would that impact my actual environment?
Wonderful. Well, oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that that's it.
Well, that was really great and really comprehensive. So as always, Abhay, thanks so much for coming onto the show. And I'm just really looking forward to our next conversation.
Sure thing. My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Yeah, of course. I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. Simulate Breachcast is brought to you by Simulate, the developers of a breach and attack simulation platform that enables companies to challenge, assess, and optimize their cybersecurity posture against threat evolutions simply and continuously. To learn more about our sponsor, Simulate, visit simulate.com. And you can listen to all of our podcast episodes at cybercrime.radio.